Praise God. Praise God. You know, we have a lot to praise God for. Today I was, you know, I have a little part-time thing that I do with Diane. Most of you know Diane is a seamstress. Well, she does mostly alterations. And I work with her. I prep the clothes for her so that when she gets it, you know, she doesn't have to do all that stuff. And I can't remember what we were talking about, but I think it had to do with something about tithing and giving to the Lord. But, you know, I remembered something that happened years ago. We were in Hawaii at the time, and I don't think I had any kids. But it was Easter. It was Easter. And you know how it is back in the day. You had to have a dress for Easter. You had to have the works, the dress, the shoes, the pocketbook, I mean the works, right? So, you know, we had paid our bills, and I paid the tithe and give the offering. And then all I had left was $28. I mean, $28. And I'm thinking, Lord, I need a dress. I gotta have a dress. So, that Saturday before Easter, I made my way down, I think, into Honolulu, or it was probably in a place called Waipahu. And they had this store called Gems. My store. even spelled it right, G-E-M. For those of you who don't know it, some people spell it with a J. That used to be my pet peeve, but I've gotten over it. It's a G, as in a gemstone. So I walked into Gems, you know, I had prayed and asked God to help me to find a dress. And I remember I had $28. I need a dress, I need shoes, and I need pocketbook. I need the works. So I walked into this store, and as soon as I walked in, there was this dress. It was a cream dress, it was sleeveless, it had some drawstrings, and it was a V-neck. And I mean, it had my name written all over it. You know, when you see something and you know this is me. I mean, it was like a magnet just pulled me to that dress. And I looked at the tag and my eyeballs nearly fell out. I thought, this must be a misprint. This cannot be. But just in case, let me just hold on to it. So, you know, I went to the rest of the store. I shopped. I got some shoes. I got matching pocketbook. And I made my way up to the checkout stand, and now my heart is pounding because I want this dress really bad, you know. But I don't think this price is right. So I asked the girl, I said, can you scan this dress for me and tell me, you know, how much it costs? And she scanned it and she said, $3. $3. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the dress. It was perfect. It was a perfect fit. I mean, it was like it, and you know, it just was waiting there for me. And the store was crowded. You know, it's Easter, lots of people milling around. Nobody saw that dress. God had that dress there just for me. And, you know, I could have taken the tithe, and you know, I need a dress. But I gave to God first. You know, when we put God first, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto us. I put God first, and in looking back, I don't even know how I started tithing. Back in the day when I was a teenager, I guess I heard somebody somewhere said that you're supposed to tithe. And I remember when I got my job and my first paycheck, I started tithing, and I have been tithing ever since. And let me tell you, God has been good. He has met every need. You know, at one point in time, we had two kids in college. We were paying for three households. We had our mortgage, their rent, our power bill, their power bills, our grocery bill, theirs, you know. And now I look back and I just can't figure out how we did it. It just doesn't make no sense. The math does not add up. But, you know, don't you just love the way how God, His math, His multiplication and stuff, it'll just boggle your imagination. When we put God first, okay? So I don't know, maybe somebody needed to hear that. But I had not thought, I mean, I just didn't think about this in a long time. Isn't it amazing how we forget stuff? God does stuff for us, and we forget. We're terrible. Anyway, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory for who you are, a great and mighty God, a miracle-working God, a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Lord, we thank you that you are God, that you love us, that you gave us your Son, and we just give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Lord, I submit this lesson to you. I believe you gave it to me, and I pray, Lord, that you will work through me, that you will speak through me, that you will let everyone who hears this teaching hear you and not me. And I pray, Father, Lord, that this word will be a blessing and an encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, we've been teaching on prayer for the past several weeks. I still can't believe we're still doing prayer. You know, the more I teach, the more I'm beginning to realize how deep the subject of prayer is. You know, it's there are different facets to it. And, you know, I've heard over the past several years, and every now and then, you know, people would say, well, why do we always have to pray? I mean, God is God. The Bible says he's sovereign. You know, he knows everything. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. So if he knows everything, why do we have to pray? Why can't God just do it? And even for those of us who are Christians, don't you just feel like that sometimes? Lord, you know. You know what's going on. You know, why do you care? I mean, why do I have to pray? Years ago, I had some friends, and I think I told this testimony before, but I was asking God this. It seems like I was praying, and God, it seems, wasn't hearing me. And I said, I remember I was, I think I was going to pick Petal up from kindergarten. I used to leave home between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. She used to go to Pinehurst Christian at the time, kindergarten. And I'm driving and I'm saying, Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what's going on? You know, I literally felt like I was praying, and I prayed and prayed, and I was all prayed out. I didn't have any more prayers to pray. Have you ever felt like that? You can't say another word. You don't know what to say. And I said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? I was gripping the steering wheel, you know, and I had so much sorrow. It was back in the day when my mom was alive, and, you know, the family back there was just bombarding me with all this bad news. And I said, Lord, don't you care? And so the next day, for some reason, I decided to just, I had some jewelry in the pawn shop that I had pawned to help some friends. They wanted to start this business, and they didn't have enough funds. And we had just come to the South, you know, and everything. And, you know, when you just move and you have to get a house and all that, we were kind of strapped for cash. But I had these jewelry, and I decided I'm going to pawn it and help them. So the next day, I thought about my jewelry in the pawn shop, and they had promised to pay me back at a certain time. And I decided, well, I don't know. They might not have the money. I better go get my stuff. So I walked in, and the guy in the glass case was all this costume jewelry, you know, beads and it was like junk. And so I said, oh, you know, I came to redeem my stuff. And he just kept looking at me like I guess I was E.T. or something. He had this look, and he said, you are so lucky. You are so lucky. And I'm like, okay, can I get my stuff? And he just kept repeating, look, you're such a lucky woman. So eventually I asked him, I said, why do you keep saying that? You know, and he said, you just don't know what happened yesterday. He said this, he said some thieves came, you know, they came to the pawn shop with guns, and they took all the jewelry, and he said, that's why you see all this stuff here. And they forced them to open the safe that had all the jewelry. And he said they took every piece of jewelry except for one envelope. And that's the one that had my stuff. One, he said it was right in the center of the safe, on the shelf in the safe, and they went all around, up and down, and they took everything except yours. And so I said, what time did this stuff happen? And he said, yesterday, between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. That was the exact time I was crying out to God, don't you care? Don't you care, you know? And so that was God's unique way of showing me, yes, I care. You know, God cares for us. And none of this is in my lesson, but somehow it ties in. We're talking about prayer, the purpose for praying. And, you know, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, you know, Jesus gave his disciples a blueprint. It's what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's not the way we, it's not, you know, I mean, people pray it and there's nothing wrong in praying it. But that was just like a pattern, you know. When you're sewing, you have a pattern to cut whatever it is you're cutting. This was a pattern that Jesus gave his disciples. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm not going to read the rest because I want to home in on verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, the first time someone asked me this question, why do we have to pray? I wish I remember this verse. Thy kingdom come. Jesus was telling his his disciples that they should pray God's will, in other words, his purposes and his plans down here in the earth. Well, you may ask, why do they have to pray? The answer is simple. Satan is the god of this world. I mean, God owns it all. But you know, Satan is a thief, you know. He takes what doesn't belong to him. And he, you know, Adam and Eve, he stole dominion from them. And when he stole dominion from them, when they ate, after the fruit, ate from the tree that they shouldn't have eaten, he became God. You know, he has always wanted to be God. That's why he rebelled up in heaven and convinced a third of the angels to follow him. Up to this day, I'm still trying to figure out what type I think. He must have been some pursuit, you know. He had great persuasion to deceive a third of God's angels who lived with him, who saw his might, his power, his strength, you know, because he wanted to be God. He wanted the worship and the adoration that God gets. You know, it's Christmas time. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. And, you know, Diane had a radio on and they were playing all these Christmas songs. And I said to her, you know, see, this is what Satan wanted. He wanted praises to be sung to him. You know, our Christmas carols, O come all ye faithful, joy to the world, little town of Bethlehem. You know, it all depicts Christ, God. And Satan wanted that. He wanted love and he wanted adoration. He wanted to be worshipped. And so he rebelled and God kicked him out. And so he came down to earth. When I get to heaven, I have to ask God why he did that to us. Why did you send him down here? You should kick him down in hell, you know. And so he came and he corrupted the earth. And so, you know, when things need to be done in the earth, God wants to do things in the earth. But because Satan is the god of this world, God is waiting for an invitation through his people, from his people, to invite him into the world. That way Satan can say, well, you're trespassing. You're a trespasser. No, I was invited. You know, if Amy, if I come to your house and I ring your doorbell and you open the door and say, come in, you can't call the cops on me because you invited me in. Now, if I kick your door down and come in, it's a different story, right? We, as God's children, this is our responsibility. Yes. to invite God into this world. I may not quote it correctly, and I may not be saying it correctly, but I think somebody somewhere said that when good men do nothing, evil prevails.
Yeah.
When God's children does not pray, Satan takes over. And this is why Jesus told his disciples, pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done up in heaven. The angels don't have no problem with, you know, whatever God says, you know, they do it. But on earth, in God's creation, as his people that was made in his image and his likeness, isn't it a shame that you know, we don't do God's will? You know, we want to do our own thing. We think we know better than God. You know, all this stuff that's going on in our world today, all the craziness, men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, and all this stuff. You know what it is all about? These people think that they're smarter than God.
Yes.
They think that they know better.
Amen.
But you know, God created the earth. He created the universe. He put the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. And they stay there, don't they? He created the oceans. He gave them their geographical location. And he told them, you can go this far and no more. And they stay there. Wouldn't it be catastrophic if the Indian Ocean was to decide, I'm tired of being in this thing. I'm going to move to South America, you know. And the Atlantic Ocean decide, I'm tired of being here. I'm going to move into the Pacific. Can you imagine the chaos and the confusion? I mean, we'd be wiped out, you know. God is an all-wise, all-knowing God. And he, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the oceans, they obey him. But we, and still he loves us. He loves us in spite of our, you know, our rebellion. You know, God loves us. I mean, we don't have anything to complain about.
Amen.
Nothing. I was listening to Johnny Erickson Tade the other day, and she was, you know, giving some words of encouragement. And as I listened to her, I thought, man, here she is. You know, she's paralyzed. She can't hardly do anything for herself. Everything has to be done for her. And she's giving God glory. And I thought, you know, I felt ashamed at that particular moment. Here I am, have all my limbs. You know, I can feed myself. You know, I don't have to wait for someone to take me to the bathroom if I have to go, or, you know, fix my hair. I can do it. I can go wherever I want, drive a car. I can walk. And I said, Lord, forgive me for complaining. I have nothing to complain about. You know, when you think of it in those terms, you realize how blessed we are. We are a blessed people. And so, you know, we should be willing, we should be happy to pray that God's kingdom come, that his will to be done in the earth. You know, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the kingdom of God, isn't it? His will is not for us to suffer. His will is not for people to be sick and, you know, and die. That all that stuff came when Satan came and corrupted the earth. God's will is for us to live everlasting life, for us to have peace and joy, for us to have love and unity and harmony among each other instead of chaos and confusion, people dying, babies dying, wars. I hate war. When this thing broke out between Israel and, you know, and Hamas, I thought, oh no, not a war. You know, because the innocent suffer. People die, they're maimed. You know, they're driven from their homes. But this is what Satan brought into this earth. And as Christian, as God's children, it's our responsibility to pray these things away. It's our responsibility, you know, to pray for peace. It's our responsibility to, you know, pray that people have good health. Yes. It's our responsibility, you know, to pray for unity and harmony. Yes. You know, in Psalms it says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yes. You know, sometimes when I'm praying and I'm asking God to restore, I've been praying that quite a lot, restore. And, you know, the Holy Spirit has expanded it so much. You know, I pray, I said, Lord, restore family relationships. There are so many siblings rivalry, and they hate each other, can't stand each other. You know, they take each other to court, and, you know, parents aren't speaking with their children. And that's not God's will. That is not God's will. But that's why we should pray that God's will be done. That families would stay together, that they would walk in love and unity and harmony, you know? And, you know, I pray for, I said, Lord, restore, you know, our peace, restore our joy. So many, you know, people have lost the joy that they had because of the stuff that's going on in the world. They can't see any further than that, you know? I said, Lord, restore, you know, our health, those of us who have lost our memory, those of us, you know, who don't find no pleasure anymore in reading your word, restore a joy, a love for the word, restore. That is God's will. And this is what we should be praying. This is why Jesus told his disciples, pray, thy will be done, where? On earth. God's will isn't always done.
That's right.
It's not always done. We have to pray God's will in.
Uh-huh.
As I was coming here, you know, as I normally do, my mind goes thing, and I'm telling you, this lesson isn't going anywhere like I planned it. But I was thinking about Jonah and how God wanted to wipe out the people of Nineveh. And he said, Jonah, isn't God good? He gave them an opportunity to repent. And they repented in sackcloth and ashes, and they turned from their wicked ways. And God changed his mind. You know, God didn't really want to wipe those people out. If he did, he wouldn't have sent Jonah to give him a heads up. Said, pray, you know. But Jonah was a disobedient prophet. He must have had some kind of thing against the Ninevites. I don't know. Maybe they did something to his family or something. But he wanted to see them wiped out. But that is not God's will. God doesn't want to wipe his people out. He always gives us a chance to make it right. You know, that is God's will for us to live. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we might have life and have it how? More abundantly. God is a God of abundance. He wants to give us abundant life. And so, you know, we as God's people, we need to pray God's will here in the earth. Uh-huh. I was listening to a prophet a couple weeks ago. I won't mention his name, but he was giving a word about the 2024 election coming up. And he said, the Christians of America need to start praying, because the election isn't going to be about votes. It's going to be what's taking place in the heavenly realm. That's what he said. That's where the battle is going to be fought, right? And you know, as I listened to him, it's like I got this revelation. You know, he's right. You know, we're fighting each other, and you know, and talking about votes and, you know, and machines and all this stuff. That's just a plaster and a sore. The source of the matter is in the heavenly realm. That's where it is. And so we need to pray, you know, not what we want, but what God wants, who God wants. Because, you know, God sees the heart. He doesn't see the outward appearance. That can be very deceiving. Remember Samuel when he went to anoint the king? And all of Jesse's sons passed before him, and he saw Eliab, and he thought, surely this is the one. And God said, no. And all the sons came, and God said, nope. And he asked Jesse, is there another one? And he said, oh, yes. You know, he's out taking care of the sheep. He didn't, his own father didn't even think enough of him because he was out tending the sheep. And he said, call him. Samuel said, call him. And David came. And Samuel took one look at him and said, that's the one. God sees the heart. That he was God's will. If Samuel had to choose, he would have chosen Eliab. But God rejected him. God said no. So, you know, we need to pray God's will over our government, over our schools. The schools, I mean, I am so glad I don't have kids in school anymore, because if I did, I think me and some of those teachers would be duking it out. You know, the stuff they're teaching the kids. You know, we're sending our kids to school to read and write and learn to spell. And they're teaching them witchcraft and all this. I mean, come on. You know that's the devil. You know. But see, we need to pray over our schools. That is God's will. He doesn't want our children to be corrupted, you know, to steal their minds, steal their innocence. That's not God's will. So we, you know, we need to pray for the principals and pray for the school administration. You know, pray for the, you know, the football team or the, you know, the, all the different team. My son is the wrestling coach up there at Central. And on Wednesdays, he trains the girls, and he takes the girls to church. That's one of the conditions to be on the team. Yeah, I have to go to church on a Wednesday. Because a lot of these kids, their parents aren't interested in church. Or some of them might go, but you know. But he takes them.
Hallelujah.
That is the will of God.
Yes.
Now, you know, Satan don't like that. Well, as those girls go to church, seeds are going to be planted in them. It may not even look like anything is changing.
That's right.
But you know, at some point in time, those seeds are going to spring up. You know, sometimes you look at your driveway, it's all paved over with concrete, but then there's a little crack, and then you see a blade of grass coming up through the, you know, the seeds that we plant into our kids will sprout and bring forth fruit. It is our responsibility to make sure the seeds get in there, because it's going to grow. It's going to bear fruit at some point in time. That's the will of God. And so if we don't pray, pray God's will, you know, Satan is going to take over. He's going to run amok. Now, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We need to recognize that. Too many times, all we see is the flesh, the person in front of us. You know, someone was telling me just this afternoon about a mother, you know, who had a confrontation with her son, and she was so hurt because the son literally got in her face, almost chest to chest, and said the most awful things. And this is a mother that had made a lot of sacrifice for this child. You know, as a mom, when you make sacrifice for your children, you know, the father was off someplace, didn't, you know, give two hoots, and then suddenly this child is getting in your face, you know, saying the most terrible things. You know, that's painful. That's very painful. But, you know, she was wise enough to recognize that wasn't her son. That was the enemy behind him. See, so too many times we look at the person. It's not them. One time years ago when Matt was just little, I missed church for some reason. So when Matt got home, I asked him, what did Pastor teach on? And he said, look behind them. And I said, look behind them. That was the topic of his message. But what he had to explain it to me. He said, oh, it means that what you see is not what the real thing.
That's
it's
right.
Satan is behind it. He is behind it. Look behind him. I bet Pastor don't even remember that message. But you know, we need to look behind them. Don't look at the person and all the craziness they're doing, all the nonsense they're spouting. It's a spirit, a demonic evil spirit that's behind them, you know, driving them, and they don't even know it. You know, the Bible says, to whom you yield your members, servants to obey, those are whose servants you are. Whether to righteousness or, you know, Exactly. And too many times, you know, our young people are yielding themselves, but they don't know that Satan is using them. They don't know. Shirley Caesar had a song that she sang years ago, you got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
If you don't speak Jesus, you are automatically serving Satan.
Yeah.
And so when we pray for our children, we pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. We pray that God would remove the scales, you know, remove the veil, remove all demonic veils and demonic scales. Remove them. Pop open their ears so that they can begin to hear what the voice, the Spirit is saying to them. That's the will of God. That's our purpose of praying. Those prayers go far. They go deep. And they're going to bring forth fruit at some point in time. You know, when I was a little girl, my mom, well, she was kind of a crybaby. She'd cry at the drop of a hat, you know. But she was also someone who prayed a lot. You know, I witnessed my mom praying. And she was always fasting. Oh, I hated that. You know, when she decides to fast, everybody is fasting. Or, you know, and there's no good food. So I was too big on this fasting business. But she would pull a fast. You know, some covetous relatives of ours were trying to take away our property. And my dad had borrowed some money from this particular relative to go into business. And he loaned him the money, but he had ulterior motives. He waited until he knew the money was spent up. And then he demanded payment, sent him a lawyer's letter in 30 days, you know, pay this or give us your property. That's the properties what he wanted. And my mom went on a fast, and she prayed, and she prayed. I think she went on a 3 days fast. And at the end of the 3 days, the Lord spoke to her and told her to tell my dad sell half of the property. We had a huge lot; you could put like 4 houses on it. And he said, tell him to sell half of it and pay the debt. And my dad put half of the property up for sale in no time, just like that. Some people from London came and bought the half of the property. And my dad was able to pay the debt, right? She prayed.
Amen.
You see how important prayer is. You know, she could have just sat there and moaned and groaned and, you know, and cussed the relative out, you know. But that wouldn't have done any good. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes laws. We can have laws, you know, statues, you know, can be changed, unrighteous statues. I think it's in Isaiah, it says, woe to those who, you know, call evil good and good evil, who erect unrighteous statues. We can, through our prayers, we can have those things changed. But nothing will change if God's people don't pray.
Amen.
That's the purpose of our prayers, so that God's will be done, so that God can have a legal ground to come into this earth's realm. And change some things, touch some people's lives, you know, turn things around. And, you know, and Satan does, he knows that, but he doesn't want us to know how important our prayers are. You know, he would much rather us get mad, you know, and do whatever we do, anything but prayer. A prayerless life is a defeated life. If you're not praying, you're walking in defeat. Do you want to be defeated?
No.
You know, God says we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. He always causes us to triumph. He wants us. He's rooting for us. We have a cloud of witnesses, according to Hebrew. They are rooting for us. They want to see us be victorious. They want to see us thrive. They want to see us overcome the enemy. But the weapon that we need is prayer. It's a powerful weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. It's not guns and bats and all these other things, you know? It's the Word of God. When we learn to implement God's Word, we can tear down mountains. I mean, it's amazing what God's Word can do. I have a friend, and she's what I call a prayer warrior. I mean, you do not want her praying against you. when she gets to praying, she gets in a different realm. And I mean, things happen, things move when she prays. And sometimes I wish I could pray like her, but you know, I'm not her. But I do my part. and I've seen God move it unexpectedly when I least expect. Sometimes he doesn't answer it exactly the way I want, but as long as I get the result, who cares? So I've come to the conclusion, I say to God, God, I don't care how you do this, just do it. You know, thy will be done.
Yes.
You know, we need to yield to God. Allow him, because he is Jehovah Jireh, he's Jehovah Rapha, he's Jehovah Nissi, he's Jehovah Shalom, he's everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He says he's already declared the end from the beginning. And I like to put in everything in between. Right? But God knows the highs and lows, the ups and downs. He knows everything that's coming. Nothing takes him by surprise. But when we pray, we develop our relationship with God. You know, the more we pray, our relationship, the more we get to know God. We can feel his presence. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? God came to them in the cool of the day, and they hid. Why? Because they could feel his presence. They could feel him coming. We need to develop our relationship with God. We need to have a good relationship with God. When we pray, we become more sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. We can sense the move. We become sensitive. Years ago, I went to church, and after the service, one of the girls that was sitting way up front, she looked at me and she said, I knew exactly when you came in. And I said, how? Because I was sitting way in the back, and she said, I smelled your perfume. You know, I had this particular perfume, Love My Many Faucets. It was an Avon brand, and I loved it. And she knew that was my scent. So even though she didn't see me, she could smell me. She knew I was there. You know, when we develop a relationship through prayer, we can sense the presence. We can sense the Holy Spirit. In 1980, when I first got to Hawaii, and I went to church. The Lord had led me to this particular church. And I had prayed and asked God to lead me to a church, because the church that I came out of in Guyana was a holiness church with a bunch of rules and stuff, and it was good, it helped me and everything, but it was also very legalistic and kept me in bondage for a long time. And the Lord led me to this church, and I walked in, and as soon as I walked into the foyer, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was so strong, it's like you can touch it. It was almost tangible. You know, we need to be able to feel God's presence. And when we pray, you know, we can feel the presence of the Lord. You know, and some people, I haven't experienced it, but some people said sometimes you can smell him. I haven't experienced that, but I can tell when God is near. I can tell when he's saying something to me. You know, it's like my antennas go out. Something inside me resonates. And I know, okay, you know, but that's what prayer does. And so we need to build our relationship. That's the purpose of praying, so that we can equip ourselves, become stronger. When you don't pray, you become weak,
that's right.
Spiritually weak,
right.
You know, and it's easy to give in to temptation,
yeah.
Because you're weak. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be empowered. He wants us to be victorious. Prayer is the key to victory. And I'm done. I have not touched 98% of this lesson. I guess, I don't know. But I hope you guys have been blessed by this.
Glory to God.
to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.